Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to the June 11th edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat. And, actually, we have a caller. I was going to say Danny only just texted to say he's stuck at work, but let's see if this is Danny. Hello, is this Danny only?
What's up, man? No, this is Anthony Henry.
Oh, hey. Well, we weren't expecting you till later, but I guess we've got Anthony Henry joining us tonight. We'll start asking you questions in a little bit, Anthony. But actually, I guess you were at a lot of shows this weekend. Matt and I missed APW, Alternative Pro Wrestling, but I understand you were part of that show. So what can you tell us about that show?
Show was pretty good. It's like one of the, I guess you would say, semi-big shows that APW puts on. They're pretty much going now with like a bi-monthly big show deal now. So six shows will be big out of the year. It was pretty good. They had the 30-man over the top battle royal, much like the Royal Rumble from WWE. Mm-hmm. Winner got a shot at the Southern States title, which is held by Strychnine.
Right.
And that's set up for Freedom Fight. I actually ended up going over in that, so I will be wrestling Mr. Strychnine for that belt at Freedom Fight, which is in July, at the end of July.
Okay. Well, I guess you can just, if you win that, you'll just add that to your collection, because I understand you, I know you're NWA Anarchy Young Lions champion, as well as Augusta Wrestling Alliance heavyweight champion, right?
Yes, sir. Sir.
And you were. I know you've held the Anarchy tag titles before. Am I leaving out anything? Is there?
To tag me and actually my opponent at the APW show, Dustin Knight. We held the tag titles while I've held the Young Lions title. Now this is like the third time I've held it. So here recently I've been pretty lucky. As far as that goes.
All right, cool.
That's how you stay in shape, toting all them belts around.
That's exactly. They get pretty heavy.
All right, well, I don't know if you, did Danny ask you to call in early or something to fill in for him?
No.
Just.
He was like, I asked him, he texted me about stuff, and I was like, I was like, one time he sent something that said 8 o'clock, and I was like, okay, cool. I saw something that said you guys were going on live, so I didn't know.
Yeah, we're going on an hour early because Vince McMahon forgot to consult us before he decided to make his return tonight on Raw for the 3-hour edition. So we just found out last week when everybody else did.
Gotcha.
I thought that'd be brought up in the stockholders meeting, but I was not conference. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, they didn't ask us about going to 3 hours on July 23rd either, but I guess we'll just have to deal with that.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, if you need me to call back in later, I can call back in later. Sure.
No, actually, if you're okay with staying on, that's cool, because we're missing the insider perspective of Danny only, but you were at all the same shows he was at, I think.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
So,
part, we had the APW show, which he was at, NWA Anarchy Saturday, and I was at Rampage on Sunday. Just
all right. Well, did either of you guys watch TNA Slammiversary last night?
Yeah,
I read the recap.
Yeah.
But the recap was a good read, which, is better than some are, and I hate I missed it. it looked like it turned out pretty good.
It was really good. It started off with Samoa Joe and Austin Aries for the X Division title, which I don't know how they would have explained it if Samoa Joe had won, because now technically the X Division title is has a weight restriction on it that he is above.
Yeah.
But he didn't win anyway, so it didn't really matter. But, yeah, I thought it was a good show, top to bottom. Did you see it, Anthony?
I didn't, you know, with me, like, you watch wrestling, it's weird. I don't keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch Raw. I don't even really watch it. I was like, oh, I'll check it out after it came on, like, later on. Like that, and I'll kind of skip through and watch what I want to watch. But I wouldn't say that I watch on a regular basis, and TNA, I really don't watch really at all. Somebody had it on earlier, I guess they had recorded it or whatever, and I watched a little bit of Austin Aries versus Crimson. That's about it.
Okay.
Is it a matter of just being, you know, caught up in your own thing, and you just kind of don't have a whole lot of time for it?
That and, you know, I don't necessarily always what's on. TNA always have, and that's hard to keep up.
You're cutting in and out a lot, Anthony, so we're only getting bits and pieces of what you're saying.
Okay, let me see if I can move here.
Yeah, it's a rainy night. Everything's bad. But, yeah, I can't believe that we're sitting here in 2012 and they let off with Samoa Joe and Austin Aries after they had both of them there and just kind of didn't do anything with them. So now they seem to be feeding back into that. You know, if there was a golden era for TNA, it was sort of when they were just the wrestling was carrying the show. And I hope they're getting back to that. It seems like they are, and I really hope that's the case, because that was when they were at their best, when they would just out-wrestle. You know, there was a time when they had the best wrestling roster in the world. And
yeah,
I think they're built back to that.
It seems like unless they're just doing another false start like they've done before,
right.
It seems like they're not only making changes for the positive over the past, I'd say, month or so, even before they switched to the 8 o'clock live time frame. It just seems like they're realizing they've made some mistakes and they're doing what they can to better those things and to not make the same mistakes, and they're just kind of moving forward in the best way they can. But I was impressed. I've been impressed with the two or three shows, the Impact shows prior to them going live, and then the two live ones have been good, and last night was good. And Christian, of course, they called him Christian Cage the name he went by when he was in TNA, but that was kind of weird to see Christian, the current Intercontinental Champion in WWE, showing up on a TNA pay-per-view. But so that's another thing. It seems like WWE's attitude has changed towards acknowledging other wrestling promotions, especially with TNA. But,
what exactly was his role? What did Christian do?
He came out and, he made some jokes about how last time he was there were more corners in the ring, and just talked about how great TNA was when he was there and stuff. But his main role was to introduce the number one moment in TNA history, which I assumed, because he was introducing it, that it was going to be his first appearance in TNA, but it was actually Sting's appearance, I guess, when Sting showed up when they first started on Spike TV, which I'd say is probably up there with some of their better moments. But it just was kind of awkward for Christian to come out and introduce Sting's arrival as the top moment.
And then the big announcement for Sting to be their first Hall of Famer, which I was shocked, to be quite honest. I just assumed it would be Jeff Jarrett, just from the fact he hasn't been around in a while, and kind of did start the company, at least television, he did.
They did announce that the actual induction ceremony will be at Bound for Glory, so I'm guessing they'll announce some more inductees and do like a class like WWE does. And I would say Sting, Jeff Jarrett, and AJ Styles would be a solid, you know, first class. I don't think they should do any more than three or four because their roster is just not as
have that many.
Yeah, it's not as deep. It's not as deep or currently as big as WWE's. But I'd say the three of them, for different reasons, have, you know, kind of become synonymous with TNA.
Right. Right. And I think that's a good. I think it's a good thing. I'm sure that some people complain and say, "Oh, they're just copying WWE again." And but you know, somebody's got to do it first. That don't mean you can't do it.
Well, you know, I think Sting may not have been everyone's first choice, but when it comes to just doing business, you know, they got him first, basically. So,
yep.
You know, even if WWE inducts him into their Hall of Fame eventually, TNA did it first, so they kind of got one up on him, and that's what they're trying to do, you know, is make themselves more reputable.
That was the first thought when I heard it. Like, oh, they snuck in there and stole him. And who's to say that the next guy that announced is not Randy Macho Man Savage?
Yeah, I saw people joking on Twitter about that, too. And, I mean, I guess they have every right to do that because he was a big part of it. He was never there when they were on Spike, though, so a lot of people don't even realize he was part of it.
Right,
but
he was there.
He was there early on.
First time we
but,
saw
I mean,
him
with Sting's been, Sting's been with TNA. He's probably almost as long as he was with WCW at this point, so.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is this Anthony again? Anthony Henry? Hello?
Yes, this is Matt Classic here.
Oh, Matt Classic, our other guest. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good. How y'all guys doing?
Pretty good.
Well.
We're expecting Anthony Henry later to call in later, but he actually called in right at the top of the show, and then he had bad reception, so I guess he's going to try again later. So I wasn't sure if that was him calling back or you calling in. But either way, we've got Matt Classic from the Allied Independent Wrestling Federations. And I guess, first of all, give us a little background on what that is and what it does or how it benefits the promotions that are involved with it.
Well, basically, it's the largest sanctioning body going right now. We have 135 federations in 35 states and 13 countries. But we're founded back in 1992 as a regional promotion based in, like, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee. But now we just are with a lot of promotions, and we're just working together, and it's free. We're just trying to help each other out.
And what is your role? It seems like, looking at your Facebook page, you wear a lot of hats there, but what would you say is your main role?
My technical title is I'm a director of members, which, like I said, we have 135 of those at the moment.
Okay. And which, I know there's a handful of Georgia promotions that are involved with that. Which ones are anything
in Georgia? We have, like I said, the AWA, which is Anthony Henry is the champion there. They're involved a great fed down in Augusta, AWN in Fort Valley, Taurus Wrestling there in Brunswick, Georgia, which is down toward the coast. We have CWO. We have FWF, just so many down there in Georgia right now.
Wow, that is a lot of promotions. You know, we get spoiled. You know, we're here in the Atlanta area, and I think that all the promotions are right here, but every time I talk to people, there are more and more popping up, which is not a bad thing. Can you notice a lot of differences between the different regions? Like, do you think the shows in Georgia differ from, you know, some of the other states? Do sort of the states kind of pick their own what they like, or is it pretty much similar across the board?
I mean, I think there's definitely similarities and differences, like Georgia, North Carolina, they like their veterans from the original NWA. They like their George South, their Hacksaw, and people they remember. And I think when you go more up in the Northeast, they like the current product, like the Ring of Honor guys, like Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards. And then the same thing, like as you go, I think the Midwest likes the more current style, while the Northwest likes the older style. I mean, it's just stylistic differences that are just ever so slight.
Who are some of the other
guys
who might recognize that wrestle under that umbrella?
We've had a ton of guys like up under our umbrella this year. I mean, We have Kevin Sullivan, who's legendary. He's one half of our World Six-Man Tag Champions, who are based out in the Seattle, Washington area. I mean, we've had Lodi on our shows. Matt Hardy's been on about 10 AIWF shows this year.
Okay.
We've had David Riches out in Galley in Chicago. He did a seminar and wrestled for those guys out in Chicago. I mean, we've had a wide list of talent.
Do you have I know each of those promotions has its own titles and championships and whatnot, but does AIWF have its own, like, is there a world or national champion or anything like that?
Yeah, yes, we do. Our current world champion is Mr. Sudden Impact Lewis Moore. He's based in the Raleigh area. He's just won that title a couple months ago. He's defended against Matt Hardy, and he's been in the ring against Dan Severn. And lots of legends this year. He was in the ring with Jerry Lawler earlier in the year.
Okay. And is that the way NWA is? Like that champion can defend in different promotions and.
Oh yeah. We encourage our promotions to put them on the shows, but you know we're not going to force them to put them on the shows. I mean, we see it as, you know, we're going to help you, but it's up to you to maximize your potential.
Was this an idea that was sort of just came up with everybody, or is there somebody who was the main focus of kind of getting this thing going? Because, you know, regional wrestling, it's been a while since there's been anybody else other than the NWA and certainly any competition. So how did all this get started?
Well, what happened was, like I said, it was originally a regional promotion. So those guys started promoting regular shows in some of the areas. Like, it was founded in Mount Airy in 92, but like I said, they run shows in West Virginia, Tennessee, but as the guys started moving around and moving to these places and running regularly, I mean, that's kind of how the whole concept started. We just got settling in these areas and running regular shows.
It's the grassroots movement. That's good.
When it comes to new member federations, do you guys seek out companies, or do they apply somehow, or how does that all work?
It really depends. Like, I've had it where they've come to us. I mean, we've had where we have talked to people and said, hey, I mean, and just told them about us. And it's also now starting to be where they might know a promotion that's already in it, and then they'll come to us because their friend or whoever they're already working with referred them to us.
All right.
So what are some of the bigger moments you've had over the last little bit? You know, you mentioned a few times Matt Hardy, and you mentioned, first of all, having six-man belts, which nobody seems to do anymore. What are some of the big moments that you kind of looked at thinking, hey, we got something, we got momentum here?
Well, this year has been huge. Just earlier in this month, June 2nd, we crowned our very first NWF Women's Champion, Mia Svensson, in Lumberton, North Carolina. That was a real big. She'd be Ada Marie, who's a pretty well-known female talent up in the Northeast region. And we also we had our Crazy Eight, which had some Georgia people. I'm sure that you guys know. We had Velvet Jones in that. We had Ring of Honor Cedric Alexander. We had Aaron Epic out of Florida, Brian Cage, RTG. We had just a ton of talent. It's our top cruiserweight tournament. We crowned our Aaron Epic as the very first AIWF World Cruiserweight Champion. He's a great talent based out of Orlando.
And what is your what would you say is your ultimate goal with AIWF? Do you want it to someday grow to, you know, something like WWE, or would you rather it stay kind of on a indie level?
Well, we just want to. I don't think we're ever going to get to the WWE level because, I mean, that's just too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely want to keep growing, but we want to get people to work more together, and I mean, we want to help the rest. We don't want people like. There's too much bickering out there on the indie level right now. Too much fighting.
Amen, mm-hmm. Brother.
I mean, if you concentrate those same efforts and working together, it's going to help everybody. I mean, you're going to have little petty fights. I mean, it's just going to happen. It's human nature. But we try to, like, minimize that as much as possible. And when we can, work together. Because you never know when you're going to work with somebody. It's just like in a job. You never know who you're going to have to work with, who you can help.
Is that ever a determining factor in, you know, if there's a promotion that wants to join and maybe the booker or promoter or certain people that are heavily involved with that promotion and have a bad reputation, or you know, or you've heard things or anything like that? Does that ever factor in? Or
I mean, it factors in. You definitely have to like worry about that and talk to people if you don't know them. But I mean,
yeah,
you also just have to take a chance with people. I mean, people can change, and I mean, it's indie wrestling. I mean, you never know what's true and what's not sometimes. I hate to say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But we try to, get the input and try to get people just to work together. I mean, and it's been fairly successful at this point. I mean, I'd be lying if I told you there was no issues involved.
That's with anything, I suppose. There's going to be a few issues, but it seems like at least everybody's is on the same page and trying to get to a place, you know, and bring everybody along the way instead of somebody taking out and running and leaving everybody behind.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, they're just trying to work together, make things better. Like, let's say somebody's on vacation, they're looking for somewhere to wrestle while they're on vacation or they're traveling. I mean, we try to help facilitate that. I mean, we have our own official ring builder out in Kansas, All-Star Rings in Kansas, great place. We have our own belt maker, which is Championship Gold in Tasmania, Australia. So, I mean, and these are giving these promotions discounts, so that's a lot of reason, too, why some join. You join with us, we'll try to get you a deal. I mean, a lot of guys need insurance. I mean, we have insurance companies we deal with. I mean, we're not going to provide it for you, but we have them that if they tell you that we sent them, they'll give you a real good deal and take care of you.
Is it kind of like getting a group rate if you work for a company that has insurance?
Right, pretty much. I mean, it's, you know, but a lot of guys, you need insurance. I mean, a lot of bills will not rent to you without it, unfortunately.
This is all just blindsiding me. I mean, we hear so much negative in this area and just in the indie wrestling in general. Just hear somebody come on and say, hey, yeah, we're doing all this great stuff. Just seems like, I guess, all a film or a fairy tale, I guess I should say. But do you get that reaction when guys come in a lot of times that may have
a lot of guys are shy. We've had a lot of former AWA members, former NWA members, et cetera, and they're like, wow. But, I mean, it's just we're not trying to put a ton of restrictions, but we're trying to help you, but we're not forcing stuff either. I mean, it is what you make it. It's like in anything.
I was just going to ask you, you know, NWA still exists, but it's obviously not the same NWA that was so prominent up until, I guess, the 80s. And, you know, so I've heard a lot of different things about how promotions become a part of the NWA that we know today. What are your thoughts on that, and how would you say AIW compares to NWA?
Right, the NWA, it has issues. I have plenty of friends, plenty of enemies in the NWA. I'm just going to put it out there like that. But, I mean, their system is good in the sense they are, like, trying to reestablish a brand that people love, like people loved for almost 100 years now. But I mean, the price is pretty high, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm not going to put it out there either, but the price to join is pretty expensive. And that was our point. Like, we didn't want to charge people to be a part of something because, I mean, this is indie wrestling. I mean, a lot of guys don't have a ton of money.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't want the cost factor to be that prohibitive factor to say, no, I can't join you because I can't afford it. And, I mean, we had to cut some of the benefits. Like, we don't have an insurance policy you can use, but I mean, we're going to help you with anything you need, anything you ask.
And that in and
that's just how it is.
Is worth its weight in gold because, like you said, everything is so cutthroat in a lot of places, but nobody, you know, the guy who runs in this town does not want to help the guy who runs 5 miles.
Yeah, guys are going to say, oh, well, you got a contract, you can't work there. I'm sorry, folks, there's not a such thing as a contract in any damn wrestling.
No matter what you might hear.
I mean, you're not making a ton. I mean, you're just getting by and you love it. I mean, you're trying to get somewhere. But, I mean, yeah, that happens all the time. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, I've had to, myself and the rest of the members of the executive, we've had to mediate issues over the past couple of years. I mean, it just happens. You have to deal with them. But you deal with them and you soldier on and you're better the next time. And I think that's what happened with us. Like, some people, yeah, they might have an issue one day. You fix it, cool, you move on. You can't linger on stuff in life or in the wrestling business.
Do you have, is it an elected committee, or is it like everybody who's in has a say? What's the hierarchy like?
Well, the hierarchy we do have an executive committee that handles the bigger decisions, but we try as best we can to get the input of each member. Like, for titles, we try to say, you know, we try to ask around and just get it taken care of. I'm not going to go into specifics, but we do try to give each person at least a say if they choose to have that say.
Right.
Now, some promotions, yeah, they care less who the champion is. I mean, they're like, you know, let's say they're like a billion miles overseas. They're not in Antarctica. They're not going to book the champion. They want like talent if you can help them impress. But, I mean, then there's some that, I mean, they want the belt, like, every time. And, I mean, but you don't want that either. You want geographic representation. And that's another thing we try to do. Because we're so big, we try to put, like, a belt here so people can see it here, a belt here. And then also get that on YouTube so the whole masses can see it.
Right. I was going to say, do any of the promotions have television in any of the pockets where they are?
Oh, yeah, plenty have television. Augusta, they have TV, Star America 1. Up here locally, we have television on Time Warner Cable. And in Maine, I know they have TV on Fox. On L.A., they're on one of the local stations. Our Portuguese promotion used to be on Eurosport, which is one of the bigger networks out there. I mean, a lot of guys do have TV and a lot have internet distribution, but I mean, TV I've did TV for. TV's rough. It's rough from a cost point of view, a time point of view. I mean, it's a great thing, but it's rough.
And it's just one more somebody with kids, though, that might not know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's and you're dealing with, like, if you're dealing with, like, it can be very expensive television.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody's anymore is, hey, give me my tape. Give me your tape. I'll put it on. Also, the advertisement will make money off you, and you'll get on TV. It's not like it used to be in the 80s.
Not to mention what you have to change in your even building just to even film the things.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hours at the editing table. I mean, we've dealt with this. I've personally dealt with this for like 2-3 years at least, just TV work. I mean, it's not easy. But a lot do have TV, and a lot of it is going on to the internet because, I mean, internet's the new media. I mean, hell, more people are on the internet than watching TV. I hate to say it.
Yep. And wrestling fans love the internet. They absolutely adore it because you can see everything. You know, the average wrestling fan, you know, is probably not just a fan of one group of people. They want to see it all.
Yeah, I mean, before YouTube, I mean, you had to tape trade. You had to, you know, trade with somebody somewhere else. They mail you the tape, you mail it back. I mean, it's going to take you 10 days or more just to get a tape. I mean, I think you were more grateful for it in those days. So, I mean, I extensively used to trade ECW. I'm here in North Carolina. I mean, Philadelphia is a long damn way from me.
And you had to have something to give them back that they wanted anyway.
Right, exactly. You had to give them, like, maybe you got to get independent promotion, like, locally. Like, I mean, I remember Ben Trockett's in ACW. A lot of people liked that a couple years ago. Like, but, I mean, it was very difficult. And with now, you got the new medium. It's streaming. It's blam, right on your screen. And, I mean, I'm telling any wrestler out there, if you're not promoting yourself on YouTube, on the social networks, you're an idiot. I mean, that's where you're going to make your money and get known. I mean, you saw Zack Ryder, his success.
Right.
I mean, he got himself over, so they couldn't fire his ass in WWE.
He did, just on YouTube. Being in the Carolinas, is it still as hot as it always has been? It seems like that their passion for wrestling has never waned. No matter what, there was always something good going on in the Carolinas. Is it still that way?
I'll give you an example. I mean, I've seen, this is in the past, I'd say 6 months. We've had crowds upwards of 1,000, and we've had them as low as about 100. So, I mean, it's solid, and they're hot fans. I mean, they want to see wrestling. I mean, but it's a good hot area, and I mean, there's a lot of promotions since there's no athletic commission. I mean, thank God for that. I know Georgia has one, but it's not awful.
So it hadn't really hampered the number of promotions. I'll give them that much. We do have
right, like Virginia is awful. South Carolina, I mean, I can only name maybe 12 promotions in South Carolina right now.
Wow. Just because it's difficult to have one.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a bond on file. Everybody's got to have a license to wrestle. Got to have physicals. In some states, like Louisiana, Oklahoma, they got to have blood work. I mean, just to wrestle. Now, I'm not saying that's not a bad idea because, I mean, I'd be worried
right.
about what some of these guys have. I mean, but, I mean, it is a hindrance to promoters and to the fans even because it's less than they have to enjoy.
Yep.
Right. Well, Matt, we have to take a quick commercial break. If you, if you'd like to stay on and keep talking to us, you're welcome to, but I'm assuming Anthony Henry's going to call back in. He was scheduled to call around 7:30, but we talked to him briefly, so I'm going to assume he's going to call in, but we will find out after this commercial break.
All right, no problem.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. joined by Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat, and one of our guests tonight who is still on the line is Matt Classic from the Allied Independent Wrestling Federations. We heard earlier from Anthony Henry, who I think is going to be calling back in, but until he does, maybe Matt can tell us a little bit about the upcoming Augusta Wrestling Alliance show this weekend, I believe on Saturday, where the AWA Heavyweight Champion Anthony Henry will be in a six-man tag match with the two other champions. I'm not sure what other titles they have in that promotion, but do you know anything about that match, Matt?
I know a little bit about that match. I know it's a big feud match. We got all your champions on one side, all the top contenders on another, and they're just going to go at it because, I mean, people want their position. People want belts. And
right.
I don't know if this is part of his TV taping yet, but I know TV's pretty soon down there. He's inked a deal with America One, the same TV, I believe, NWA Anarchy's on down there, which is it's a pretty good product. I watch their TV episodes online. And they're just going to go at it down there in Augusta, and we're going to see what happens.
And then I forget the exact date, but it's July, early July. There's, I believe, Anthony Henry has a match scheduled with the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion Colt Cabana. Do you know anything about that? Or
I know it's a big show. He's going to take on Colt Cabana. It's going to be a title versus title, I believe. And I think he's going to have a lot of bands there as well.
Bands?
Bands, yeah. I believe so.
Oh, okay, cool. I have never heard much about AWA until recently. How long? Do you know how long they've been around?
No, he'd been operating for about a couple years. Then he took a little hiatus, and he's just coming back now. He's got a nice training school down there in Augusta, which your trainers are Mr. Anthony Henry and Kenneth Swanson. I'm not sure if you're both of very talented guys. And so he's got him a building down there, and he's got a couple meetings at the bars, and he's starting back strong.
Yeah, it looks like he uses a lot of the same guys that wrestle at Anarchy, which isn't a bad thing at all.
That is not. They've got
Doug definitely
does.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess we will just wait until Anthony Henry calls back in. But we saw him on Saturday, Matt and I did, at Anarchy. He didn't have an official match, but he's got an ongoing feud with Adrian Hawkins and came out and had a little altercation with him. I'm assuming he's setting up something for their next show, and then they've got a big show coming up. I forget the date. Do you know?
I believe it's the 30th.
June 30th, yeah.
I think they'll be back-to-back, 23rd and the 30th, I do believe.
Right.
If I know how to work a calendar.
Yeah. Well, that's one of their big shows. Is it Hostile Environment?
Yes, I do believe so. They've got a giant six-man that seems to be for control of the company. You'll have the final of the, that's what they call it, the Gold Rush match will be
yeah.
tonight. So.
Yeah.
They've got momentum right now, and that's something that, you know, we see everything here. And so you kind of ride with the promotion when they go way up, and then you stick around, you go when they lull a little bit because, you know, everybody can't run hard all the time. But right now Anarchy's got the needle moving. They seem to just be where all the talent is showing up, and they had a big debut Saturday night that surprised everybody.
Well, they didn't even say who he was, but...
I'm
assuming some of the people in the audience may have recognized him. I know a lot of the people on the card that got laid out by him at the end of the night knew who he was.
They knew who he was.
Yeah,
I think Clayton being right there, I think there's a pocket, you know, some of those fans that might be some crossover, so they knew who he was. He is their champion. So, you know,
yes, he is. So, that's the TNT Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion and Empire Wrestling star, the Jagged Edge, who we've heard a lot from him here on this show in the past couple months. Kind of surprised he's not calling in tonight to gloat a little bit about that.
Well, he's riding too high, I'm sure. He got his mitts on Danny again. He's got nothing to talk about.
Yeah. He got his mitts on Danny and Nemesis and Strychnine and
Slim
who else was there?
Osmorel.
Yeah, all
much
of them.
The who's who of NWA Anarchy wrestlers he put down pretty hard. But I don't understand how they keep finding giant men to be in the NWA Elite. I thought they had exhausted the supply, but apparently Jeff G's got a pipeline somewhere where he just keeps making them bigger.
Right. Well, another thing we should mention, that John Schuyler, who took on Seth DeLay at Anarchy on Saturday night, the previous weekend was at Peach State Wrestling Alliance and lost to Stupid. But then Tuesday night, he was part of SmackDown, which aired on Friday, and he was one of the two guys, I forget what name they gave him, but he was one of the two guys that lost to Ryback. And then on Monday, last Monday, we saw Rick Michaels' new tag team partner, who I believe his name is Stoney Jackson, but again, he had a different name on Raw, but he also fell victim to Ryback. But regardless of what role they played, it's good to see some of the local guys on WWE TV twice this week.
I know Stoney also, he's been very successful in Dynasty Championship Wrestling, which is one of our affiliates out in the Phoenix City, Alabama, which is basically Georgia region.
Yeah. Down by Columbus, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know. I had never heard of him until he showed up at Peach State, and kind of like the Jagged Edge at Anarchy, they didn't announce his name or anything. He just showed up with Rick Michaels and beat down the Exotic Ones, the current incarnation of the Exotic Ones. But yeah, then two nights later was on Raw getting beaten up by Ryback. But yeah, it's good to see people
Stoney,
like that.
His tag team partner, knowing that, was Kirby Mack, a.k.a. Crazy K, who's a very well-known indie wrestler on the Carolinas, and he was with that AWA for a long time.
Okay. Well, glad you could...
I had no clue.
John Schuyler is definitely talented. I mean, I've seen him several times, and the man, I mean, if someone doesn't sign him to a deal soon, they're making a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems like he's on the verge of something. I see him everywhere now, too. So I'm at Peach State, at Anarchy. I know he does UCW when those shows happen.
Him and Steven Walters had a dark match at TNA pretty recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, him and but Steven Walters right now, he's on a tour with Brian Dixon's All-Star Wrestling out in the United Kingdom for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope those two can hook up again once they get back to the States.
I don't think you keep all of it straight, Classic. It's supposed to be a guy we can throw past you that you don't know where he is and what he's doing.
That's what I do. Hey.
Got a big Rolodex, I guess. Cycling through wrestlers. This guy's doing this. But yeah, it's good to see the guys we know who we see work their asses off, and like you said, it might be in front of 10 people or 300 people, get something, you know, get that chance to do something. I know Siler Cross and Master J, I believe, did CZW this weekend. So I'm anxious to see how that went. I know they were in Ohio, and I heard tell it was CZW. I can't confirm that, but I know they went out of town, and they were very excited for a chance to do a big show. Our very own Danny Only will be in Chicago this Friday. So, I mean, it's just good to see you guys get out and get a shot.
Right. And then on the local level, we saw another, it didn't have quite as much of an impact as the Jagged Edge showing up in Anarchy, but kind of a surprise at Empire/PCW on Friday night. Navy Blue in the very first match against Jacob Ashworth. I think those fans just weren't familiar with who he is, but he's been in FCW not too long ago, and I've seen him recently on Ohio Valley Wrestling's TV show, and, you know, he's pretty well known throughout Georgia as well, so, again, good to see people branching out and showing up in places they've never been before.
Actually, you know, Jacob Ashworth was just recently there. I know he had a small run a while back, but, you know, the talent seems to be gathering with the talent, you know, and you, that just works out for us as fans because, you know, whenever you go anywhere, you're going to see 80% of these guys really, really, really are good. And, you know, hopefully the other 20% are taking notes in the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of a change from when I got here, you know, a couple years ago and started going to shows in the Georgia area. You know, things are changing in just that little bit of time. I think that's just the best for everybody. But, yeah, Navy Blue showing up, while it might have not drew the oohs and ahs that Jagged Edge did, it, you know, it, there's a backstory that we won't get into, but it certainly did pique my interest.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing him there again. And then he got called out by Montez.
Oh, my God. Did he ever get called out by Montez?
That's always an interesting part of the show, to say the least.
I pull my hat down real low and try to stay quiet, which, as you know, for me, is hard to do. But I don't want to invoke the ire of Montez.
I think it's only a matter of time before he... goes through the entire audience.
Maybe so. And then him aligning himself with Dynamite Walker didn't do him any favors in the fans' eyes. So I think Montez is really just there to ruin my night. That's his main function, is to bother me.
Well, you know, I think there's a certain tag team that he could form an alliance with that would just make it all the worse for you.
Jonathan, don't speak it into existence. Don't do it. I know that they're listening. Just don't bring it up. Speaking of tag teams, I've been really impressed here in the last little bit by how the Bullets have worked as singles wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John's two matches with Shane Marks have been just gorgeous. And then the thing mm-hmm. with Fred, while it was a little brief Friday night, was, you know, you're just like, oh, my God. In 5 years, you could see this easily being somebody's heavyweight title.
Yeah. Yeah, he in particular has come a long way, but, I mean, Trey's doing good too.
Trey's done the same thing. You know, Porterdale, he's had some great matches on his own down there, so it's good to see. You know, I'm glad they're not breaking up or anything crazy like that, but, you know, spread out. Do what you can do.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the Hate Junkies, Danny and Strychnine. They're still the Hate Junkies, but they go and do their own thing here and there and come back together, and they still kick ass as the Hate Junkies. So I guess maybe the Bullets are kind of taking note of that.
Right. I guess we'll have John in a couple weeks, won't we?
Yeah. Actually, he's going to be on the show next week to audition for the spot, the vacating co-host spot that Danny Only will be leaving open when he goes to Afghanistan. And we're going to have a few people over the next few weeks call in and just kind of try out and see how they work. So, Matt, if you have any suggestions, either Matt that's on the line right now, actually.
I'm going to suggest Classic. throw his hat in the ring.
Well, we could say he's had a good first audition tonight.
I mean, I've done tons of these shows. I mean, I keep up with everything because, like I said, that's my job within the AWF. I'm the guy that they tell me I'm the walking encyclopedia. I mean, they send me a message.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I mean, guys might joke about it, but I mean, I'm the guy that keeps up with the info, so we know what's going on. And I mean, I definitely follow outside of our own product because you never know when you're going to see the next superstar, and you want to know what's going on out there.
While we're on this
right.
subject, and not in any order, not calling anybody out, anything like that, but just who are some of the guys that you really enjoy watching?
Well, I like Mr. Steven Walters. I mean, I think he's a very talented guy, and he's being from Asheville, North Carolina. I've got the pleasure of seeing plenty of his work. I like I said, our champion, Mr. Lewis Moore. I mean, I think he's a guy that definitely doesn't get his due credit. I mean, he's a very talented guy. But he's stuck to that North Carolina, Virginia scene. And I think hopefully as he branches out with this world title, people will start to see how talented he is. Another one I'm not sure if any of y'all are familiar with, Mr. Rick Converse. He's a Carolina-based guy, but he's also the former AWA world champion under Gonninger. He's the complete package. I mean, I think if you really had wanted, he could have went all the way.
Mm-hmm. You're referring to the Augusta version of AWA, right?
No, I'm referring to the one that got sued by the WWE, Dale Gonninger's version.
Okay. Because we had a guest a few weeks ago that lays claim to the defunct AWA tag team titles, which I learned some more about that guy, Matt Hankin. apparently he lives with Larry Zbyszko, which would explain how he got those belts possibly, and I don't know, that's how he makes a living in wrestling too, but
Well,
anyway,
which we actually had to clean up some of their recent mess. I'm not going to go into details because I don't want to get sued or anything. But they had a big fiasco, and one of our promotions out in Texas had to definitely clean up that mess.
Hmm. That seems like the going rate. Seems like a bit of a trend with that whole thing. But like you said, a word to the wise should be sufficient.
Yeah.
But some other Georgia people I like. I really like A.R. Fox. I mean, I've got the pleasure of seeing him on a lot of Evolve and CZW. I mean, that guy, he can go.
Fox is another one of those guys that every time you see him somewhere, you're surprised that he's there and not, you know, somewhere that in everybody else's eyes are bigger. A match Danny mentioned a few weeks back was Fox and a guy from Texas. Classic, you may be familiar with this guy. ACH, do you know him at all?
I know who he is, but I'm not very familiar. But Pac,
yeah,
I'm very familiar with Pac. My actual dream match is Pac and Kota Ibushi from Japan. I mean, I think they would just tear it up. And Pac's actually going to be on an AWF show in England coming up, the United Kingdom, for G-Ring Promotions. They're doing a huge show up there with Pac, Mark Haskins, and some other people.
Okay. Cheers. There's plenty of talent to be looked at these days, and that's a plus. You know, Anarchy had Kyle Matthews and Corey Hollis, and every time I watch them, I think, well, shit, I'm here. There's 100 of us here. How am I this lucky to get to sit, you know, two rows back and watch every, you know, minuscule detail of the match and not have to be in the rafters somewhere seeing this?
Right. And then they were both at Academy on Friday as well. And
yep.
There it's an even...
Two nights in a row.
Yeah, there you're.
More personal experience.
Yeah, you're right there. Like they could fall in your lap at any second.
And how? And how?
Yeah, Hollis and Chase Owens, they were my picks to win the NWA World Junior Tournament. I mean, Kevin Douglas won it. No offense to him, but I just figured they were going to put it on a Southern boy.
Yeah, you would think. But, yeah, Corey Hollis, I don't know that anybody has seen half his potential. I don't know if he's ever had, you know, a match where he had to give it all to you. I think he's got some. I think he's got more that he hasn't shown anybody than what he's let us see.
Yeah. Well, I think he and Fred Yehi have put on some great matches, though. And I mean, of course, he and Kyle Matthews. You know, that how could that not be a good match?
Yeah, that Dice Show versus Zach Daniels and Corey Hollis match was sort of a, you know, at PCW Empire, we're a little spoiled. We see great matches a lot, and we see a lot of the talent spin. But that thing there was something that you can't get in most places. So if I said before, I said, if Zach Daniels is the least experienced, least polished person in the match, then you know you've got a great match on your hands. Because Zach is
100%.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know how
Kyle,
you are,
Kyle
Matt
you,
Classic.
He did get the award from the Cauliflower Club this year, so that's a big honor to him.
Kyle Matthews?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We did hear that. They mentioned that at Anarchy. Yep, that
he
had won an award.
He's won multiple awards,
but,
some of which we've
actually
had the pleasure of announcing.
He's been on at least two AFF shows this year. I know he was up in NCWA in Clayton, North Carolina. As well, he was in the EWF X8 which is in Converse, Indiana, right outside Fort Wayne. They had some of the, like, the top cruisers out there.
I heard tale of that. I had looked into going, but it just didn't fall right on the calendar. But
yeah, I mean, it's a great place to work, great promoter. I mean, I'm very glad to have them with us.
Well, Matt, we need to start wrapping things up. So do you want to tell people where they can find out more about AIWF?
Definitely. Check out our website. Our website is AIWFWrestling.net. And it has everything from our news to our shop to all our promotions that show you all 135 that are with us. You can click on your favorite in your area and discover maybe something new. And also check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/AIWFWrestling. We're on there, and we stay really active on there. I mean, I'm the one that maintains the Facebook, so, I mean, I'm telling you, there's like 10 posts a day. You'll find something you like.
All right.
But,
well,
I definitely appreciate you guys having me and everything.
Yeah, and, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and it's good to hear that there's something that's doing, you know, such good things for independent wrestling, and hopefully you can continue to grow, and we'll hear back from you on here sometime in the future.
All right. Thank you all very much. I'll have a good night.
All right,
thank you.
Too. Well, I guess Anthony Henry, we got what we were going to get out of him for tonight, but we should obviously have him on another time when things are less hectic. Maybe we can reschedule him and Jimmy Valiant for the same show. Since
I love it. I love it.
You know, I got a copy of the new WWE DVD set that's Falls Count Anywhere matches. And the second match, it's not out yet. I think it comes out early July. But I popped it in over the weekend. And the second match is Jimmy Valiant, Boogie Woogie Man, and his tag team partner was Miss Atlanta or something. And I don't remember witnessing this match when it happened, but it was clearly a man dressed as a woman. And I couldn't figure out who it was. I need to do some research. But they took on the Jim Cornette, Beautiful Bobby, and Midnight Express, or I always get them mixed up. Not Rock and Roll Express.
Midnight.
But it was a great match, and it was, you know, Falls Count Anywhere, so there was all kinds of, which is basically means anything goes.
Right.
So it was just funny that, you know, after we had him on the show, and then I just get this random DVD in the mail and pop it in, and I'm like, well, there he is.
There he is.
All the more reason to have him back on.
Night. Exactly.
But, yeah, so next week we do have John Williams from the Washington Bullets, who is auditioning for the co-host position, but I'm sure just like when we have Danny on, we'll talk a lot about what he's got going on. And then we also have Drew Cordero from Beyond Wrestling, which coincidentally the Bullets were just there with the Hate Junkies, so that'll all work out. And I don't have anyone else scheduled yet, but I know there's some big shows that weekend, including the Big Bang Ball at the Goat Farm, which is a big festival with a bunch of bands and stuff.
Oh.
And Empire/PCW will be part of that. So, I don't know, I might get Stephen Platinum or someone. Yeah, just to find out what they have planned for that show, because it's always interesting to me when a wrestling promotion, especially that particular wrestling promotion, gets involved with events that might expose them to non-wrestling fans or people that are just kind of not familiar with the whole thing.
You can't just roll up in the Goat Farm. We may need media passes. Steven.
Well, that was originally where I wanted to do the Wrestling with Pop Culture anniversary party, but it just seemed too complicated and things fell into place, you know, at a different venue. But I think it would be a great place for wrestling. I don't know if you've been there, but
I have not. I don't know. I don't have any connections.
Well, it's a lot of it's outdoors, but they've got this covered kind of pavilion area, and I think that would be a perfect place if they set up a wrestling ring in there. And it's open air, so it's like, you know, open on the sides, but if they put fans and stuff in there, it'd probably work out. But I don't know where they're going to set the ring up since they've got a bunch of bands, and they've got all kinds of stuff. They've got sideshow performers and all kinds of things going on. So I think PCW will fit right in that environment.
Absolutely.
But so I guess that's it. That's what we've got scheduled for next week. Did we leave anything out? I know we had a lot to talk about.
I think we hit most of it. I have a fun fact about Danny Elmley.
All right, yeah.
He should grow his beard back.
Oh. Was it just me, or did he look like he was wearing a Michael Myers mask when he painted his face white with no beard and kind of spiked his hair up and slicked it back a little bit?
It
was funny watching Dexter Elmley, his son, and I forget her name, but Strychnine's daughter were in attendance at Anarchy on Saturday. And it was funny just to glance over and watch them reacting to things every once in a while. But I guess we need to go because Vince McMahon's going to be on TV in a few minutes. And,
appointment viewing. I just want to put this out, folks. This is the time of the year where they kill Vince McMahon. So.
Oh, it was. And we all know what happened shortly after that. So I don't
always, know you know, that thing happened. The stage fell on him around this time. So just be mindful.
Yeah.
This is when they kill Vince McMahon.
Was it this time of year when Triple H replaced him? It wasn't a full year ago, was it?
I don't think it was a full year ago, but I can't remember when the Nexus thing happened either. That was somewhere within the time frame, I think. So just be mindful that you could see Vince McMahon die.
We're about to miss it, so I just want to remind everyone to go to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com to find out more about the other radio shows, Ringside Rap on Wednesdays at 8, Peach State Pandemonium on Thursdays at 8, Reverend Dan Wilson's Midnight Black Mass on Fridays at midnight, and once a month on Sundays, the OVW Overview at 2 p.m. And, of course, check out WrestlingWithPopCulture.com to read about wrestling and pop culture and stuff. But hopefully Danny will be back with us next week, and we will talk to everyone then.
All right. Check with y'all.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.